97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio. And, you know, I have the honor this week, actually Friday the 30th, we're going to be taking my show, the Mark Cox Morning Show, live down to the great city of Eureka to Chicken Ellie's restaurant. And they're going to be donating a part of their proceeds from our broadcast down there. So we're encouraging people to come out. We'll be there from 5 to 9 and probably a little after that on Friday morning, 30th. You can show up. Bo Matthews, there's food. So I'm expecting you to be there.
Of course.
A portion of all the proceeds will go to benefit the Focus Marine Foundation. And we've got Sergeant Tom Elgus on the phone with us this morning, a retired United States Marine Sergeant. And Tom, welcome in.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you on, and anxious to find out a little bit more about Focus Marines Foundation and what it is you guys do so well.
Well, we started in 2009 when a Marine who I served with in the 1960s, his son was in OEF and OIF and ended up in a hospital in Germany, and his wife and he went over to Germany to visit his son. He's doing fine. He healed well. He's a successful man. But when he was over there, we were all pretty much Vietnam era.
Okay.
And he wondered again, what happens when they come back here? How do they make that transition? So you investigate what the military does, and there's not a lot they can do because the Constitution says military and civilians cannot mix, because then you would have influence over the military. So he came back with a vision, and he started calling Marines in St. Louis, and 12 of us got together, and he gave us the mission of building a transitional program to help our warriors make that transition from military life back to civilian life, which is their next battlefield, actually. Many of them went in when they were 18, 19 years old, right out of high school, never filled out a resume, never did a job interview, wanted to do something for their country that was much bigger than them, and then they come back. And we knew what to do when we were Marines. We were highly trained. And when you get back here, everybody says, well, you're a Marine, you can do anything. Yes, possibly we can, but how? So we started designing this program to give them the how. And like I said, we started in 2009. In March of 2010, through the generosity of one of the Marines, we had a farm out in Defiance. So we thought that's where we'll bring them. No distractions, no nightlife. They're pretty much our prisoners of war. and so we started getting people in. And our first session was called Midwest Marines. We came up with a name, and we got our participants from Wounded Warriors East and Wounded Warriors West, which the Marine Corps has two facilities that actually rehab the Marines when they come back and they're wounded before they discharge them into civilian life, okay? So they weren't really out of the Marine Corps. And we did a good job of telling them what may be coming, but we thought that's not our audience. So we took a sabbatical till the next September in 2010, and we went out after our warriors, Marines, Navy corpsmen, out in society, not being successful, not moving forward. So we designed a program, and we invited a bunch of them in, and because of our generous donors, they fly in. They don't even pay for their luggage fee. I think we booked 30 flights, and we had 15 showed up.
Wow.
So once again, we learned, okay? And we started our program, and I think we had a fairly solid program, but the best things that we started to do right away was let them critique us. We do this four times a year. We have them for a week, typically 24 to 26 Marines, Navy corpsmen, and now because we've grown so much, other services come in. And we pick them at the airport. We provide transportation. They don't have to worry about anything. Once again, our donors. One of them donated a bus with a wheelchair lift and everything else. So we're prepared at the airport to receive them because we cannot let these people down. Airport police helps us. USO helps us. Airport facilities help us. We park our buses right by the terminal with our plaques on the dashboard. If you can realize this, we actually drive around the terminal and pick our guys up and gals up, and then take them out to the farm. That's on a Saturday.
What a great effort!
Yeah, and Sergeant Elgus, thank you for your service for this country and the mission that you're on right now. I do want to tell you the importance of the program is so deep in all branches of the military. Just a personal story, my daughter, you know, like you mentioned, you know, a lot of these guys that come out of military service have never had a job interview. My daughter went in at 17 years old to the Army and served, and when she came back from her first deployment in Iraq, we were ready for her. We were excited. We had a car ready for her. She was arriving in Oklahoma, but she didn't even call us to say, hey, I'm back on solid U.S. soil. She went immediately, because she had money in the bank, she went immediately to a car dealer, which I think should be outlawed in the sense of you got to have a little breathing time. But she went right to a car dealer, got into an expensive car situation, and it was like, no, we didn't have that chance to like decompress her. Or I don't know what the word is, but to get her, you know, to meld back into society. But you're a kid. What do you want when you're a kid? You want a car. So, and you got all this money in the bank. So, boom, off she went. So I think it's important on many levels. That's just one personal story. I think the one thing that she says more often than not is she misses the structure of
the
military.
Absolutely. Well, your mission, you know what your mission is. You've been trained. You've been highly trained. You have people on your left and right that you trust, okay, with your life. But when you come back here, it's, your friends are not like they used to be. It's like they didn't move forward. You did move forward.
Yeah, they're not the same.
Mm-hmm. No, you've seen some pretty dramatic and profound stuff. It's changed your attitude and everything else. And like I say, well, you're military. You can do anything. How? Your daughter wasn't equipped to come back and buy a car, you know?
Right.
Without taking a little time and getting a little education to get back into civilian life. It's so important that they be retrained, actually, from the military back to the civilian life. And that's how we started building this program.
Sergeant, is that the first step? I mean, if this was widespread, if everybody who was making that transition was getting this kind of help, would we be putting a bigger dent in those, on average, 22 lives a day, I understand, that we lose in this country to suicide?
Oh, absolutely, because they come back, they're lost, and look at, they've got hardware blown off them, traumatic brain injury, post-traumatic stress, survivor's guilt, grief, and all this stuff. And I mean, it's a volunteer military, okay? So they volunteered. They want to make a career out of it. Some came from bad families, bad neighborhoods, and everything else. And they get in, like the Marine Corps that I know so well, they're given discipline. It's 12 seconds for somebody to tell you that you're doing something wrong. And then you bond with all the people that you trust so much in there. And you've got your tribe. Boom. You got a leg blown off, an arm blown off, or traumatic brain injury and everything else. You're on a flight, you're in Germany, and you come back here, and you're not prepared. Because the military isn't supposed to prepare you for that. So this father, who talked to his son in Germany when he went over there, came back with a vision. Okay, there's got to be some way we can design a program instead of getting out of the military off of a cliff. It's more of a ramp that you can slowly come down, get acclimated, get back into society. And when they come through FOCUS, it's not easy. It's very difficult. We're in their face, and that's what they need. And the first thing that we've got to do on Saturday, we load them on the buses, and it's a 45-minute ride out to the farm, and it is deathly quiet. I mean, you can hear a pin drop. And we get them on the farm. They're looking around. They're not talking to each other. We're assigning bunks right. to them and everything else. Then they meet the combat casualty nurses, which are good resources. Then they start meeting us, and they see that maybe I can trust these guys. The first thing that we have to do is gain their trust.
100%.
They've already been through things, you know, the VA and everything else. It's I'm cognizant, and I listen to our nurses tell our warriors how to go through the VA, and it would tick me off.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, it's just so complicated.
Sergeant, I'm a military brat. My dad served 47 years with the Air Force in uniform and civil service, and I've never even asked him this question. I've never asked my daughter this question. I've had uncles serve. I'm going to ask you a question that I don't know if anybody's ever asked because I just don't know. But when a civilian sees, you know, somebody wearing a Vietnam vet hat, or they know that somebody has, you know, returned, whether they're still in service or they're, you know, out of service, when somebody refers to you as an American hero, is there a pressure? Is that a negative? You know, I know it's a nice thing to say, but is it received? How is it received by military?
Different ways by different guys. Some guys think it's insincere. Some people say, you know, well, they want to feel generous about themselves. And some guys just really, and gals just say, thank you. It helps. It means something to me, you know?
Right.
So I think it's the individual that has to say that. To me personally, I think they should all be thanked, but if they're walking through airports and in restaurants and everything, they might not want to be bothered at the time. A lot of time they're closed up.
Yeah.
You know, and it depends.
That's gotta be a lot of pressure though, to be referred to as a hero.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, we don't, that's not the way we feel. The way we feel is we did our job, you know, and so did the guy on the right, and he can't walk through an airport.
Right.
He can't hear words because he didn't come back. So,
Sergeant,
thanks for answering.
You know, it's a difficult question. Some people handle it just like, I mean, some people handle war better. They don't come back with post-traumatic stress. They may go through the same thing in combat the other person does. But if the other person had abuse early in his life, it will show itself up in combat when they get back and trying to make a transition back to so-called normal life.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm proud that we can play some small role in supporting your organization. What is it? Do you have like an average of what it costs you guys to help each service member who comes through the program? Is it $10,000?
Well, yeah, approximately. I couldn't break it down. We spend close to $1 million a year. Okay,
wow.
We have four a year. Okay, four sessions a year. And they're far a week. We pick them up on a Saturday. We take them back to the airport on the next Saturday. And so we typically 24, 25, 26. We'd like to get 30. Sometimes we find out that's too many because you got to give them breaks. Your classes can't go on too long. They can be intense, but then you got to give these guys and gals a break and things like that. So we, on that average, we spend close to $1 million a year. And I say we spend our donors.
Yes.
Give our generous donors, give this money that we can do this, because you got to consider that week we spend, 14 to 1700 meals, transportation, flights, everything that it takes to get the warriors to us on this farm and back home safely is a heavy lift. And we're willing to do that. And it's very legitimate because we're very good stewards of the money, because, like, I was one of the original 12 Marines that got the call from this one Marine and said, this is my vision. And, you know, a vision is smoke in the wind unless you act on it.
That's right.
So we acted on it. And it's just, I kind of was the skeptic. I said, no, we're going to bring these guys and gals from dark places. You know, we're not doctors or psychologists or anything else. And one of the guys on the board said, well, we're Marines. So, okay, that was good enough for me. But I was going to walk the minute I found out that this program wasn't legitimate and wasn't doing its job. And I was impressed with the first class, even though it was the wrong audience. Then the next class, when we got guys that and gals that were civilians, that was our audience. And I'll tell you right now, none of the directors take a salary. That's me.
Well,
13 years. Okay, we're very good. Now, we've got people that we have to pay. A grant writer, because it's a full-time job.
Sure.
Our president, she is a female Marine, Jennifer. We're all afraid of her. Then there's two civilian ladies, Stacy and Hannah, because they work all year round. They book flights. They do everything. We have buddy checks. One of the great things is this is an electronic world. So when we're done with them at the end of the week, and I'm telling you, these people are fired up and ready to go at the end of the week, okay?
Awesome.
Because we've just put them something like boot camp, and they're ready to go. But they're going to go back to the same environment, the same hole. That hole has a lot of gravity. Yeah. What we're trying to do in a week is move them far enough away that gravity is light enough that then they can take over.
Well, Sergeant,
and run their lives.
Sergeant,
yes.
Elgis, we appreciate you. The mission you're carrying out these days. We're happy that we can play a role in it, and looking forward to meeting you in person. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, our boat doesn't float without people like you, and I hope to get to shake your hand on June 30th, isn't it?
Well, right? Yes, it is, June 30th, next Friday, and it'll be my honor. Sergeant Tom Elgis, thank you.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
Take care. Semper Fi.
There you go. United States Marine Corps, Focus Marine Foundation, and Chicken Ellie's is right down on the main drag in Eureka. So I hope you can show up down there. Bo Matthews, I know you're going to be there, right?
Well, I'm going to set my alarm clock, whether I hear it or not. I'm kidding. I do want to ask you, though, other than Chicken Alley's, you know, you go there, you eat, and a portion of their, you know, earnings is going to go to this organization. Other than somebody walking up with a company check or something,
yeah,
or cash out of their pocket, we'll have opportunities for them, correct?
I believe
for
we will.
To do that.
And focusmarines.org is the website for people that are listening to this who can't make it out there on Friday. Focusmarines.org. They can always use your support. Fantastic.
Awesome.
Good effort. Hey, listen, that's going to do it for us. Have a great weekend.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.